You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, whenever you're listening to this podcast. I'm recording the 60th pick, actually, of the draft. The final pick of the second round actually just came through. So just kind of collecting my thoughts here after the Wolves had a really eventful kind of mid to latter portion of the first round tonight. So this is really my immediate reaction to the full draft. So what I want to do is obviously hit the Anthony Edwards pick first overall. I want to talk about the trade that is going to bring reportedly Ricky Rubio back to Minnesota and the multiple pick exchanges that happened in the mid to late portion of the first round, and kind of evaluate all that. I don't want to take too deep of a dive on you know, any one player, whether it be really, I guess the second, we've talked a lot about Anthony Edwards, but whether it's Balmero or McDaniels, the other guys the Wolves got, I don't want to deep dive on those individual players too much, but I want to hit some high points, evaluate the night as a whole from the Timberwolves' perspective, and we'll have plenty of time on Friday and into next week evaluating how these guys might fit on the roster and them as prospects as well. So this qualifies as my initial reaction to this, and we'll spend certainly multiple shows on the kind of recrafting of the Timberwolves roster here upcoming. But in the wake of the draft, let's go ahead and dive in. Of course, off the top, a reminder that you can subscribe to the show on any of the places you prefer to get your podcasts. And you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T on Twitter. We were active on there this evening during the draft, so head on over and follow us there. All right, so the draft started this evening. All of the kind of the betting markets, the odds makers had coalesced around Anthony Edwards as the potential number one pick in the draft for the Timberwolves. Over the weekend, at one point, LaMelo Ball was the favorite. It flipped, I think, early Monday to Anthony Edwards, and Edwards picked up steam throughout the week, and including throughout the day on Wednesday. Up until when the Wolves were on the clock, various folks, including Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN, were reporting that the Timberwolves were still shopping the pick, were still taking phone calls. And ultimately, actually just at the end of the night, Gerson Rosas did some media availability and said that they had conversations with more than 10 teams related to the number one pick. There was some steam that Charlotte really wanted LaMelo Ball. For a while, everybody thought they wanted James Wiseman. Both of those players are you know, in the Wolves' case, Ball, and in the Warriors' case, Wiseman, who they did take. You know, there was reason to believe Charlotte would trade up to one. There was a report by Jeremy Wu at Sports Illustrated, who, of course, has contributed to a number of things here on the Locked On Network. Jeremy reported on Wednesday afternoon that the Hornets and Wolves were talking about the Hornets moving from 3-1. Perhaps it was Bridges that the Wolves were after. Perhaps it was PJ Washington. Ultimately, that didn't happen. The Timberwolves stood pat at number one and took Anthony Edwards. The team immediately began promoting Edwards as the pick, and there was some confirmation by some local reporters. I think Jace Frederick of the St. Paul Pioneer Press might have been first to report that the Wolves confirmed to him, or a source confirmed to him, that the Wolves were not planning to trade Anthony Edwards. I speculated on the Locked On Live show with Chad Ford and David Locke this evening that perhaps the Wolves would trade Edwards later in the night. We quickly found out that that was not going to happen, and the Wolves were all in on Anthony Edwards. In some of the media availability later in the evening, Rosas did say that Edwards was, quote, head and shoulders above every other prospect in the draft. And ultimately they felt like there was a lot more value in drafting and keeping Edwards than there was in trading the pick or in drafting anybody else. And obviously those are the things you're going to say after you draft somebody first overall, especially after the Wolves openly shopped the pick. We're not shy about the possibility of shopping the pick. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, Rosas's job is to make the roster as, you know, the best roster it can be. And as long as he says all the right things about Edwards clearly being the best prospect, then, you know, it's not a big deal. Obviously his mandate is to build the best roster he can. So there's no shame in shopping that draft pick, especially this year. For Anthony Edwards' part, he said all the right things in the pre-draft. Of course, he had the comment about not being worried about playing basketball in the cold weather because he wouldn't be playing basketball in the snow. We talked about that a few days ago. He said some good things in the media as well. He's excited about coming to Minnesota, excited about his fit with Karl-Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, said he felt like the Wolves are a team that plays hard, that they came extremely prepared for his draft meeting and basically had everything planned out for Edwards and his fit in Minnesota and what his role would be with the Timberwolves. And he talked about wanting to play hard and improve. He even said that he's working hard to improve at playing hard all the time on both ends of the floor, which is, of course, one of the biggest concerns about Anthony Edwards. And I mean, I'll be honest, if you've listened to the show at all over the past 6 months, I've been consistently against the Timberwolves drafting Anthony Edwards number one. I've never had him number one on my big board. I had him anywhere from, the first time I did the big board, he was at two. I dropped him down to three by the last time I did the big board. I do have concerns with his shooting efficiency or lack thereof. I have concerns with the effort. I have concerns with consistency really in every area of his game. I mean, he is the most impressive physical specimen in this draft. His combination of size and athleticism, his wingspan, all those things, all the reports about his strength and the amount of force that he delivers when he jumps, when he dunks, all those things that are out there, those things do matter, and he's an exciting prospect. But Timberwolves fans, you know, I mean, there's clear parallels between Andrew Wiggins as a prospect and Anthony Edwards as a prospect. I hope I'm wrong. I really genuinely hope I'm wrong, and I very well could be wrong. But those are the concerns that I have with drafting Anthony Edwards. Almost the same. It's, you know, the shot mechanics are great. The shot looks good. It just didn't go in enough. Same thing with Andrew Wiggins. Now, one of the differences is Wiggins played on a really good team at Kansas and didn't have to force a bunch of shots. Anthony Edwards played on a terrible team at the University of Georgia and forced a lot of shots because he had to for his team to succeed, or at least he thought he did. And so he can be excused somewhat for some of the shot selection issues that probably shouldn't be a big deal in the NBA. He should not be taking contested jumpers with Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell on the floor in Minnesota. But some of his issues can be explained away by that. There's no denying the physical profile. There's no denying the fact that he has the build to be an elite defender. Andrew Wiggins grew into a decent defender. He's an okay defender at this point in his career, but it took him a minute to get there. And Anthony Edwards wasn't good last year in the SEC. Why should we think he's going to be a great defender from day one in the NBA? So those are my concerns. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like, you know, I'm thrilled with the pick. However, I understand why they did it. He's going to have some trade value in the next year or 2 years. What we know about Gerson Rosas is he's not afraid to wheel and deal. We know that. There's two guys on the roster from when he took the job over a year and a half ago. And maybe one by the time the season starts. Who knows if Josh Okogie still, we'll talk more about that later, but who knows what his future in Minnesota is. And, you know, I think Edwards will be on the team to start the season. I don't think there's any question about that. I don't think they're going to turn around and trade him tomorrow, but could there be an offseason trade next year? Could there be a deadline deal? Who knows? But the upside of Anthony Edwards is real. And I think there's a good chance he's a solid rotation player in the NBA. The concern is, where's that line? Is he going to be an overpaid rotation player like Andrew Wiggins became on his max contract? Or is he going to deliver enough value on a rookie deal where he's worth an extension and he's worth keeping on this roster long-term with Russell and Towns? But I'm on the record as saying all along, I wanted LaMelo Ball, or I wanted a trade back to pick up, you know, Tyrese Haliburton, Killian Hayes, Obi Toppin, Devin Vassell, one of these other guys who I felt like fit the roster better. But I understand what the Timberwolves did. I understand why they did it. And yes, if they hit on this, it could be a home run and the Wolves could have a legitimate big three for years to come. I'm dubious that that happens, but it's certainly a defensible pick if you look at it from the perspective that a lot of the draft experts and traditional scouts would look at this. All right, what I want to do next is dissect the Ricky Rubio Oklahoma City Thunder trade, which is fascinating. So I want to talk about it from what does the Wolves roster look like now? How did the Wolves, did they make adequate use of the picks that they traded? You know, what was the value in the assets that were kind of moved around, and did they come out on top there? So a lot of different ways to look at this trade that went down this evening, or I guess multiple trades, but we'll start with the Thunder Timberwolves aspect of things. So that's what we'll do next. Before we do that though, let's talk about Built Go. I had a Built Go today. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market, but it's not just a workout gel. It also can serve as an energy gel to help you break through a mental or physical wall. I had the day job, multiple blog posts to write today for Dunking with Wolves, the podcast, the live show this evening. I had a Built Go middle of the day today, and it helped me break through what was really both a mental and physical wall. It's easy to take in a 1.5 ounce package. You can put it in your briefcase or your backpack like I did to get you through the day. It's just like a 5-hour energy, but without the same crash feeling, and it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's just like drinking a monster drink with a third the caffeine and better results. 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint, which is what I enjoyed earlier today. Bilko combines energy gel with collagen protein, and it's loaded with good stuff like beta-alanine, vitamin B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Visit Bilko.com, use promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at Bilko.com. Let's go. All right, so the Timberwolves this evening, shortly after taking Edwards at number one, all eyes turned to the number 17 pick in the draft. Of course, that was originally the Brooklyn Nets pick. And my speculation all along on this podcast is that the Timberwolves would try and trade that pick for a future pick, ideally for next year, because they traded both their first and second rounder in 2021, which should be a stacked draft as part of the D'Angelo Russell, Andrew Wiggins trade back in February. So I assume the Wolves would try and get a pick for next year. Obviously, that was a challenge for them to try and pull that off. And instead, there was word that the Wolves were going to try and work out a trade with the Oklahoma City Thunder. That first coming from, I think it was John Krasinski at The Athletic that reported it. And then he reported that the Wolves were trying to get Ricky Rubio. There was this moment in time where the question was, are the Wolves trying to get Rubio? Are they trying to get Kelly Oubre, who, of course, the Thunder had also just acquired from Phoenix earlier in the week? Are they trying to get future, you know, picks in this draft? The answer was 3/4 of that. They actually got 2 picks from the Thunder in this year's draft, plus Ricky Rubio for the number 17 selection. It has not been reported yet that James Johnson is the player going from Minnesota to Oklahoma City, but to make the salaries work, it almost has to be James Johnson, unless it's some combination of, it could be like Jarrett Culver and some other contracts. But I mean, at that point, the trade becomes less palatable from the Wolves' perspective. So the Wolves, we'll call it James Johnson at the moment. If that changes, we'll revisit this, obviously. But James Johnson and the number 17 to Oklahoma City, and they get back the number 23 pick, the number 28 pick, and Ricky Rubio. Of course, Rubio spent the first several years of his career in Minnesota. He's beloved by the vast majority of the Wolves fan base. I would still say he's a polarizing player to Timberwolves fans, but probably 70 to 75% of Timberwolves fans love Ricky Rubio on some level. And then the rest of the people in Minnesota, we'll call it the 25 to 30%, do not like him and always thought he was overrated and are not excited about him coming back to Minnesota. I don't know that there's many people in the middle. Frankly, you know, I fall much more in the first category of this conversation. But I also, not only am I a huge Ricky Rubio fan after watching him, you know, grow and develop in Minnesota, but I also think he's a really good fit for the roster. So let's first talk about that. The Wolves were rumored last offseason to try and acquire Ricky Rubio in free agency. He was kind of a backup plan to D'Angelo Russell to acquire. And the Pacers were supposed to be in on Rubio, but almost right after free agency opened, Rubio signed this big 3-year deal worth over $50 million total with the Phoenix Suns. He was a huge part of their rotation. Helped Devin Booker really break out this year, helped the team go 8-0 in the bubble and almost qualify for the playoffs, despite having, really nobody gave them a chance, and they dominated in the Orlando bubble. And the Timberwolves wanted Ricky Rubio. My assumption would be they chased him last summer because they felt like, you know, the Wolves need more playmakers. They need veteran leadership. At the time, of course, D'Angelo Russell wasn't on the team, so they really didn't have any point guards. They still had Jeff Teague under contract, but everyone knew that eventually he'd be gone. And so the Wolves clearly had an affinity for Rubio. We knew when Rubio was in Minnesota, Gerson Rosas and the Houston Rockets had been one of the teams that always was rumored to be interested in trading for Ricky Rubio when he was on the market forever. Ultimately, was traded to the Utah Jazz, and so there was some connection there. We know that Ryan Saunders and Ricky Rubio are good friends. This was reiterated by John Krasinski after the trade was announced, or reported, I should say, this evening, was that Saunders and Rubio both bonded over losing a parent. Of course, Ryan Saunders lost Flip, and then within basically a calendar year, Ricky Rubio lost his mother to cancer as well. And they remain close. And it sounds like Rubio was approached by the Thunder. His agents were approached by the Thunder, and they talked about Minnesota as a possibility. Rubio warmed up to the idea. This is John Krasinski's reporting at The Athletic. And he was sold on coming back to Minnesota because he didn't want to be part of a full rebuild in Oklahoma City. And say what you will about the Wolves roster and how good they may or may not be this year. Maybe they're a 500 team, but they're going to try and win. And they've got two 24-year-olds who were just recently All-Stars in Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell. That's a lot more attractive than what the Thunder will ultimately put on the floor this season. I'm not talking about 5 years from now, because the Thunder, of course, have like 17 first-round picks in the last 5 years, and that's not an exaggeration. But Ricky Rubio wanted to be on a team that was going to try and win. In terms of his fit with the Timberwolves roster, the Wolves can play Rubio and D'Angelo Russell together. They can play Anthony Edwards at the three and plug in, you know, whoever at the four, Juancho Hernangómez, maybe some Jake Layman, maybe it's even Naz Reid, maybe it's a free agent signing that is kind of a plug and play in the short term, assuming James Johnson isn't on the roster. But you could do that. You could play those guys together. Perhaps your closing lineup, Rubio maybe isn't on the floor when you're closing if you're worried about his shooting and floor spacing. My hunch is you'd rather have him on the floor for his defense down the stretch, and you worry less about the shooting. And remember, this is a good time to point this out. Ricky Rubio shot 36% from beyond the arc this season for the Phoenix Suns. This is not the same Ricky Rubio from a shooting perspective that was in Minnesota 3 years ago. He spent 2 years in Utah, one in Phoenix. And over the past 3 years, he shot just over 33% from three on decent volume. I mean, we're talking 3.5 to 4 threes per game each of the last three seasons, and a total shooting percentage from deep of over 33%. So he is, he's an average league average 3-point shooter. He's not a sharpshooter, but he can play with D'Angelo Russell. He can play with Karl-Anthony Towns. Rubio remains the best all-around point guard that Towns has played significant minutes with. And there's no question about that. Towns was fantastic in Rubio's final year in Minnesota. That was when Towns first started to break through. And it was I guess, the year before his first All-Star season. But Rubio and Towns are a great fit together. Rubio and Russell can play together. And if you want to bring Rubio off the bench behind Russell, you can do that. Say the Wolves still re-sign Malik Beasley. Rubio comes off the bench as your primary backup, runs the second unit, can play with Russell, could play with Malik Beasley, certainly. And, you know, he gets 30-ish minutes a game that way. In terms of the salary, which was my initial concern, was why would the Wolves be trading one of their best trade chips in James Johnson's expiring deal? And again, this is projecting out that he's what's included because they have to match the salaries somehow. Johnson's expiring. Rubio's got 2 years left. But, I mean, who are the Wolves going to sign next offseason anyways when James Johnson's contract expires? I mean, I guess they could have traded that contract at this year's deadline. And I mean, that's true. Ricky Rubio is not an untradeable contract either. So if Rubio stays in Minnesota for the full next season, say the Wolves have a bad year, they can trade Rubio next offseason and he's an expiring deal then. So there's really no penalty there. And I'm going to pull up the average, the annual salary here for Rubio. It's $17 million this year, $17.8 million next year. Before he becomes a free agent in summer of 22, James Johnson was a little over $16 million this year. So the Wolves take on about $1 million in salary and then an additional year for Ricky Rubio. They took on a little bit of extra money, but Johnson was going to get traded anyways. So why not pull the trigger on this move now? Rubio also helps with the kind of difficult to quantify aspect of leadership. And that matters. The Wolves still have a painfully young roster. D'Angelo Russell, for as great as he is, and he's been an all-star, he's still 24. Karl-Anthony Towns is still 24. Anthony Edwards is painfully young. He's 20. And to add that veteran leadership, to add somebody who's going to jive with Ryan Saunders, he's going to get along with the Wolves roster. He's got a fellow countryman in Juancho Hernangómez who likely will be back as a restricted free agent. The fit makes sense. And for the Wolves to have a secondary playmaker or be able to play D'Angelo Russell off the ball a little bit, I think will be a positive thing. I mean, look at the D'Angelo Russell, Spencer Dinwiddie pairing in Brooklyn a couple of years ago when Russell made the All-Star team. No, Dinwiddie and Ricky Rubio are not the same players, but Rubio is a better outside shooter than Spencer Dinwiddie. So if you're worried about spacing, Russell was still able to operate on the floor with Dinwiddie. Now, Dinwiddie's much better in the mid-range, and there's certain things he does better than Ricky Rubio. But Rubio can actually space the floor a little bit better than Spencer Dinwiddie. And, you know, this is probably a situation where Russell's still playing on the ball more often, but they give him the opportunity to play off the ball. I've talked a lot on the show about how Russell's, you know, much better as a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter than he is as a off-the-dribble three-point shooter. As good as he can be pulling up from 30 feet and knocking down long-range threes off the dribble. He can do those things. But to play with Ricky Rubio, and the other thing is Russell doesn't really penetrate into the paint all that often, whereas Rubio does. And yes, he usually is driving and kicking. He's usually driving and finding a cutter. But if the Wolves can surround him with shooters and cutters, which is something that the previous regimes never were able to do, David Kahn to Rick Adelman and Flip Saunders, and even into Tom Thibodeau's regime where Rubio was briefly, the Wolves were never able to surround Rubio with the personnel to make Rubio successful. And look what he did in Phoenix. Here for the next segment, I'll pull up the numbers as to the on-off numbers that Donovan Mitchell had with Ricky Rubio in Utah and that Devin Booker put up with Ricky Rubio in Phoenix. And that'll kind of paint that picture a little bit further. So I'm going to do that next. I want to talk about the pick values as well, how the Wolves came out there, and then briefly touch on Jaden McDaniels here at the end of the show today. And then on Friday, I'll kind of unpack some of this a little bit further once I've had some more time to kind of rehash everything and dive in a little bit deeper. So that's what we'll do here coming up next. Okay, let's put a bow on the Ricky Rubio trade talk here for this episode of the podcast. I want to cite this tweet from Phil Mackey, of course, of the Mackey and Judge show in the Twin Cities. He tweeted this out shortly after the trade was reported. I'm just going to read this tweet here verbatim. Ricky Rubio is a better player than he was 5 years ago. He also elevates young stars. In Phoenix, the teammate that elevated Devin Booker the most last year was Rubio, plus 219 as a combo. 2 years in Utah when Donovan Mitchell was on the court with Rubio, they were plus 500 as a combo. Those things matter. No, it's not a perfect stat. Yes, there's other noise involved, but it's undeniable that Ricky Rubio makes the players around him better. And Ricky Rubio as a, you know, say that 36% shooting last year is real. I think he's probably more of a 33, 34% shooter from beyond the arc. But that is he's an above average point guard, and not to mention the intangibles he brings, how hard he plays defensively, the expectations he's going to have for his teammates. And, you know, you bring in an impressionable number one overall pick like Anthony Edwards, potentially the Argentinian point or guard that we're going to talk about here in a moment in Balmero. And Rubio makes a lot of sense. One last thing, Kevin Pelton of ESPN did give this trade a grade pretty rapidly, and he's got it listed as Rubio the 25 and the 28 for the 17 and James Johnson. He gave the Wolves a B and the Thunder a B+. He says it'll be interesting to see what Rubio's role is in Minnesota with crowded wings and obviously D'Angelo Russell at point guard. I mean, they're not going to strictly play him as a back guard, a backup to Russell, so clearly there's going to be some Rubio Russell together, but basically says he'll be a good veteran presence. And it's a feel-good story all the way around that he's coming back to Minnesota. He also says that based on the picks exchanged in the deal, the Wolves seem to view Rubio more valuable than Johnson, which is reasonable, he says. Usually getting a 25 and a 28 wouldn't move a team quite that far up in the draft, but that implies that the Wolves think Rubio is more valuable to their roster than James Johnson. So, you know, all the way around, it's exciting for Timberwolves fans. I'm excited. I think many Timberwolves fans will be to see Ricky Rubio back in Minnesota. There's Rubio and Towns get along, Rubio and Saunders get along, and the playmaking, the defense, the intangibles all matter. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see him back in Minnesota for the next two seasons. All right, what I want to do next is talk through the actual trade. So the Wolves acquired 23 and 28. In giving up the number 17 pick. And then as 23 came on the clock and the New York Knicks selected Leandro Balmero, the Argentinian guard, the word came through that the Wolves are going to trade the 25th selection, which they had just acquired from Oklahoma City, and the number 33, which was their own second round pick, to move up and get Balmero at 23. So on its face, it doesn't make a ton of sense because you're giving up the 33 pick just to move up two spots, which the only way you do that is if you're convinced that the team following you picking at 24, which in this case was the Milwaukee Bucks. If you thought the Bucks were going to take Balmero, who knows? Obviously their intel told them that or something because they gave up the 33. So on its face, it doesn't seem like great value, but they did keep the number 28 pick. And there were several names on the board at 28 that I was interested in, from Desmond Bane out of TCU. We talked about him the other day on the show. There was also Tyrell Terry, the Stanford guard, Minneapolis native. I don't think he's a fit, especially not after trading for Rubio, but he's an intriguing prospect. Ultimately, the Wolves took a big swing for the fences in drafting Jaden McDaniels, the forward out of Washington. And McDaniels is your prototypical home run swing late in the first round. He's the type of guy, and he's not the same player, but the name that sticks for me is Anthony Randolph, as I think he was more of a mid first round pick, but that type of a bouncy, athletic, theoretically stretch four who can also handle the ball, but he needs to put on a lot of weight, was a little bit disappointing in 1 year in college, but there's a lot of growth to have, you know, that sort of a prospect. And he indeed would be the perfect fit next to Karl-Anthony Towns. If McDaniels becomes a fully realized version of himself, if he becomes what he can be, then it's impossible to find a better pairing with Karl-Anthony Towns. It really would be. McDaniels is supposed to be a guy who can handle the ball on the perimeter, who can almost be a point forward type player, somebody who can be an above average 3-point shooter. And he wasn't quite that at college. And I'll get to his numbers here in a second. And a multi-positional defender. He's 6'9", almost a 7-foot wingspan, about a 6'11 and a half. But he's only 200 pounds, and he needs to put on quite a bit of strength, quite a bit of weight. He's ultra athletic. Obviously, he's long. He's a solid defender now, but because of his size, he can't really guard. You know, he's not going to guard anybody in the post, which is less important now than it was even 3 years ago even. But if he can become a multi-positional defender who can shoot threes at a 35, 37, 38% clip, play make a little bit, and just be a solid all-around player next to Karl-Anthony Towns, then you've hit a massive home run here. He just turned 20 years old. He did shoot just about 33% last year at Washington from beyond the arc. 33.9%, so about 34%. 40.5% from the field. So he's got to improve his shooting stroke, but he was 76% at the line. He's got good mechanics. There's a lot that suggests that he's going to be an above average shooter at the NBA level. The bigger question is, can he clean up some of the turnovers? And part of that was due to teammates and competition and just a lack of understanding, you know, not great feel, but he had some extremely impressive passing highlights. And again, you're looking at the upside here. So, I want to do a deeper dive on McDaniel because we didn't really talk about him much in the process, leading up. He wasn't part of my big board when I went through the early 20s. I didn't highlight him when I looked at potential second round picks. So I want to do a deeper dive on him and talk more about him in the coming days. But just know that he is a super high upside pick, and on a team that doesn't have very many fours, he's a guy who could be a perfect fit next to Karl-Anthony Towns. So, I guess if you're going to look at an overview of this draft as a whole, here's what happened for the Wolves. They sent out the number 17 pick, the number 33 pick, and James Johnson. They brought in Anthony Edwards at number 1, Leandro Balmero at number 23, Jaden McDaniels at number 28, and Ricky Rubio. So they sent out a mid-first rounder and a second rounder and got back two additional first rounders and stood pat at number 1. So in terms of overall value, yes, they technically also gave up the 25th pick. So it's almost kind of a wash. That was kind of a weird move back and forth situation in terms of the picks that they had. Now they do have three guys now on guaranteed contracts. I didn't talk at all about Balmero. I think I also want to do a deeper dive on him, but I guess the cliff notes are he's a versatile wing, a playmaking wing, a guy who can do really anything on the court. His shooting percentages aren't great, but he's got great touch, outstanding feel, one of the better passers in the draft. And there's some people that had him mocked late lottery and he went 23 to Minnesota. He's probably not going to come over this year. I believe he just signed a 3-year deal to play in the EuroLeague. So he likely is at least a 1-year stash. Maybe, I don't know if there's a buyout situation exactly. I'm going to look into that, but I don't think he comes to Minnesota this year. Give him 1 year overseas. The obvious connection there is Pablo Prigioni is Wolves' assistant coach, a fellow Argentinian. And the Wolves have really kind of built this really diverse roster in addition to their coaching staff and front office. And it's exciting because Balmero is another guy who you can plug him in probably he's a big 2. Maybe he can play the 3 at the NBA level a little bit, but he's a good defender. He plays hard. He's an outstanding passer, great touch, just needs to develop a jumper. And he is a really intriguing prospect. So we'll do a deeper dive on him in the coming days as well. But clearly Gerson Rosas is rebuilding this roster, trying to find more positional versatility. Edwards, Balmero, McDaniels are all positionally versatile guys. More length, Rubio falls in that category. Guys who play hard, at least in Bolmero and Rubio's case. And just overall, the talent level continues to improve on this roster. Just a quick snapshot, and this is, again, something I want to go into deeper once we've all had a few sleeps and we've thought about this draft a little bit more. But as we head right into free agency this weekend, the Wolves at point guard have D'Angelo Russell and Ricky Rubio. Jordan McLaughlin's going to be a restricted free agent, and you know, jury's out on whether or not he's back. I think he could probably find a backup job somewhere else. If the Wolves, unless the Wolves are hell-bent on playing Russell and Rubio together a lot, I don't know if McLaughlin's back. On the wing, you've got Anthony Edwards, you've got Jarrett Culver and Josh Okogie at the top of your depth chart. They also have Keelan Martin on a two-way contract who may or may not be back. Jalen Noel on a partially guaranteed contract for next year. Jacob Evans is still under contract. Not sure if he'd be back or not, but he's obviously not a major part of this rotation. Jake Lehman is kind of that wing slash big where I think he's going to play some three, he's going to play some four. And then in terms of bigs, you've got Towns, you've got Naz Reid, you've got Jared Vanderbilt, Jaden McDaniels, and then Juancho Hernan Gomez is very likely to be back as a restricted free agent. We've said that all along. Darren Wolfson reiterated it tonight on Twitter that Juancho is likely to be back in Minnesota. So you're looking at a projected starting lineup of D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, probably Josh Okogie, Juancho and Karl-Anthony Towns, and then your next guys in the rotation are Ricky Rubio, Jarrett Culver, and Jake Lehman. I'd be surprised. I don't know. It's probably 50-50 at this point if Jarrett Culver is still on this roster when training camp kicks off in 2 weeks. The Wolves, it sounds like, didn't want to just give him away, and there was a sticking point somewhere in the talks with the Hawks. It was reported by the Athletic writer in Atlanta that the Hawks were willing to do the six pick for 17 and Jarrett Culver, but the Wolves got cold feet on trading Culver unless they were getting a star back. And I understand why. We've talked about this plenty on the podcast that there's not a great chance he turns into a star, but there's still some upside there. He's still a good defender. He has the length that the Wolves don't otherwise really have on the perimeter. So it's probably 50-50 in my mind if Culver's on this roster at the start of the season. Then again, if he doesn't show much improvement this year, he is one of the few guys on the roster that will be extremely tradable at the deadline or into next offseason as well. So we'll see what happens there. But clearly this roster is much more versatile, much longer, much more positionally versatile than it was even 9 months ago. Well, I guess 9 months ago now was basically the trade deadline. So we'll call it 12 months ago. But Gerson Rosas has done plenty of work, and this team tonight made three first round selections and added a player in a trade. And we'll see what this looks like as we get into free agency. One last note that, again, this is another kind of, we'll put a pin in it and talk about it more in future episodes, but as the draft just ended while I was recording this, there's certainly some quite a bit of undrafted free agent talk, and players like Devin Dotson, Killian Tilly are both names we've talked about on the show. Those players are undrafted free agents available to sign anywhere. Tilly almost immediately signed a two-way deal with the Memphis Grizzlies, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. Shams Charania tweeted that the Wolves are signing Ashton Hagans from Kentucky to a two-way deal with a two-way deal. He's kind of a combo guard, probably more of a point guard, known for his defense, is basically the high points on him. So he's another player we'll look at more closely on Friday's show and into next week as the Wolves fill out their roster. And as they sign two-way deals, we'll start to learn a little bit more about Keelan Martin next year and some of these other guys that were on the roster that may or may not be back. So stay tuned for that. But all in all, an eventful night. Exciting to have Ricky Rubio back. Exciting to have a number one overall pick in Anthony Edwards. Some things didn't go exactly the way I would have planned them. However, I think the Wolves are better now than they were at the beginning of the night. All right, that's all we have for you this evening. We'll be back Friday, again, to deep dive on some of these players, to talk about anything else that happens, and also a quick preview of the start of free agency, which will be this weekend as well. So be sure to tune back in. Reminder, we're daily Monday through Friday, so we'll be back early Monday morning talking about anything free agency related that happens with the Timberwolves, any rumors, anything that actually goes down. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. The Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.